Welcome to Manage Your Tools. Today's cast, Politics 101, Chapter 7, Compromise. The questions this cast answers are, what if I can't get my way? How can I resolve disagreements? And how can I maintain relationships when there is conflict? If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Hey folks. You may have heard Mark previously reference the fact that we are still searching for those islands, those small locations and small windows of time where we can go ahead and host in-person conferences unimpeded by the COVID restrictions. We know, in terms of in-person events, folks learn more, are more engaged, have more opportunities for practice at our in-person training. So, if you're an individual, go ahead and look on our website, manager-tools.com/training, for opportunities to attend a conference near you. Or if you're an organization and you live somewhere where you can get away with going ahead and hosting an in-person event safely, we'd love to come on site to your organization. Go ahead and email us at maggie@manager-tools.com. And we'll help you organize a presenter from Manager Tools to visit your organization. Kate, lots of people talk about conflict. Don't like conflict, avoidance of conflict, getting rid of conflict. But the fact is, if you're in a human organization, you're going to have conflict. It is a given.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to disagree about who to hire, or when to start a project, or how much to spend, or what path to take, or what software to buy, or what investment to make, or which. There's a million things in organizational life that are rife for conflict. But most of us then, and because we avoid conflict, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have never really been taught the basis of conflict and how to resolve it. Because of that, that's what we're going to do today's cast on. That is, conflict exists in your organization. It's going to. And one of the simplest ways to reduce conflict to those minor incidents and brief moments is through compromise.
Right. So we're going to talk about criteria: effective, efficient, and relationships. It's all about people. Focus on interests, not positions. Defer on minor issues, defer to role power, and consider strategic compromise. So we'll start with criteria: effective, efficient, and relationships. The biggest problem most of us have with compromise is our focus on winning and losing, right? In a position where one person has one opinion and one the other, we tend to take a position. So you take a position, I take a position. Our positions seem intractable. We feel that neither of us could change our position or lose any ground. And we both kind of develop this belief that one of us is going to win and the other will lose.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, much of what we read regarding the professional world highlights the conflicts as winners and losers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. People are pitted against each other all the time.
Mm-hmm. And it's a really common way of kind of characterizing these issues.
Yeah, disagreements, absolutely.
Yeah. And so if you think about winning and losing, then maybe you start to believe that in order to win in the long run, you have to win in the short term. That, right, you have to win every single time.
Mm-hmm.
But a series of misleading assumptions around conflict, if you will. Nobody gets everything they want.
No.
And fighting for everything that you want all the time is a recipe for disastrous relationships and a career that doesn't progress. I think whenever I talk about DISC a lot of the time, I talk about the willingness that a lot of us have in our personal lives to adapt our behavior to the people around us.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a really
good point. The classic example I always give is that I know some people who really like Marvel movies, and I don't love Marvel movies.
Oof.
No, I've just made a very polarizing.
We're sorry.
I know. I'm not even sorry. They're all the same. There's like a glowing thing and it could destroy the world and we'll be super careless with the glowing thing for 45 minutes and then lots of people will die anyway. That's the plot of them. So I really struggle. My point being, for those of you, now we've lost a bunch of people.
Right, yeah, a bunch of people are like, nah, I hate you.
Yeah, they're so mad. I end up watching Marvel movies because the people I care about watch them and love them. Right. And if you're willing to extend that kindness or what, that capitulation, maybe, however you want to describe it, in your personal life, consider that you compromise in your personal life probably a lot. And think of the fact that you maybe don't think of it as wins and losses as much in your personal life. And if that's the case, maybe you can extend that thought process here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because if you think about it, there's not that many inflexible people who succeed.
Exactly.
Really rigid people don't often get too far. Or they've achieved a certain level and they're known for being inflexible.
Exactly. So that is to say, there's a more effective way to think about conflict where compromise might be worthwhile. That is, when it happens, change your mindset away from that win-lose. We're against each other and one or the other of us winning is the only way to alleviate this disagreement, by instead satisfying three simple criteria: effective outcome, efficiency, and relationships.
Right. Effective outcome, meaning a reasonable end to the conflict. By reasonable, I don't mean that reason, logic should be the standard. That would be great. Too often, using only logic puts both parties into positions that make sense to them.
Absolutely.
Your logic doesn't match the other person's. We're using the reasonable person concept here, not reason or logic. Both parties reasonably accept the compromise, whatever they have agreed to, right? Whatever that compromise may be. Sometimes role power matters, sometimes experience, sometimes convenience, politics, creativity, time, money, culture, etc. An effective outcome means some form of compromise has ended the conflict.
Yes.
Right. Effective outcome might mean you acquiescing to what your counterpart wants. And we found in the vast majority of conflicts faced, the stakes weren't high enough to justify the elimination of a simple choice to allow the other person to win.
It might also mean making your case, however you might, and having your position win. It might also end in some sort of middle ground or compromise where both sides get something.
Mm-hmm. It could also mean that the conflict is shown to be false and no outcome is necessary, because in discussions, you realize the point is moot. There's a different way of, I think I just said mute. The point you is did. Moot. Thank you. Joey on Friends. It's a moo point. No, the point is moot. There's a different way of looking at the problem, or the nub of the issue is overcome by events, OBE.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, before we move on to then the second criterion of efficiency, let us also say that there are some scenarios where you do not believe your approach or position is negotiable, right? You believe your position, in many cases, many of us feel as though it's unchangeable, right? Nothing about this situation or what is happening right now is going to change. I will and always will believe this thing is X. But in our experience, virtually no conflicts fall into this category, despite often having the feeling that you have no other choice.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you feel strongly about something does not mean it's not something you're able to compromise on. Not all strong feelings necessitate or even suggest that one should be uncompromising. The best example, the best way to think about this concept is think about, okay, if whether or not this decision is so important, so pivotal, that we would be willing to lose our job over this disagreement.
Yeah.
If not, it may be more worthwhile to compromise. How often, and I would suggest not very, are we in a position where we are making a point that is so important that if we do not win this agreement, or this disagreement, my apologies, we will leave our job?
If you're in that position often in the role that you're in, perhaps you should leave your job.
Right. This virtually happens never.
Hopefully.
We're disagreeing about things, positions, what have you, but yeah, those disagreements aren't ones whereby it is so important that our choice be chosen that anything other than that means we leave our jobs. What that then means, and this is hard for someone to learn or to process, is the vast majority of times that most of us perceive a conflict, it is absolutely amenable to compromise.
Right. If you're in a position where you genuinely feel that you might have to leave your job based on this conflict, then guess what? You can leave your job. And hopefully that's not happening in the role that you're in very often, because that would be...
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not good.
Right. It's happening virtually never.
Yeah.
So just because then you feel strongly about something doesn't mean you ought not be willing to compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a very common error of young professionals, and something then for us as managers that is worthy of feedback or teaching or helping those younger professionals realize, yeah, not everything is a hill to die on.
Right.
Not everything is worth burning all the things around you to the ground to win. It's just not.
Right.
It's absolutely not.
I can imagine someone, I think I felt like this a lot in my early in my career, like, oh no, these are the lines. And you learn, I think, with time that there are very few things that can't be adjusted, can't be compromised. And that's a good thing to be able to do that. It takes some time maybe, and that's okay. And listen, if you're a manager and you have young professionals on your team, you can shorten that time frame of them learning that by helping them with teaching, with feedback. All right. After effective outcome, right? Efficiency is usually the first casualty in conflicts and compromise. We're working on some project and there's a conflict. And now both parties, and usually more parties, become focused on the conflict. This can be so detrimental to the project. It's a deadly myopia. The professional clock is always ticking, y'all. While the conflict persists, other work is delayed, the project gets delayed, we lose time, we miss deadlines, we're wasting minutes that could be used on effective work. For want of a nail, the battle is lost. But if we were to take a different approach and to look at the conflict differently, we could approach it with efficiency, speed, as one of our core tenets to be satisfied. And then we can start considering different ways of winning. This is the very first idea that should pop into your mind, which is time spent resolving this conflict important enough to delay the overall effort? Is the week it's going to take for us to work this out important enough for us to pause? In many cases, it's not, and it's far simpler, far better, far more powerful for the project to acquiesce, to find a solution.
Absolutely.
The point of efficiency as a criterion is that time, tide, and formation wait for no man. If efficiency is not a factor, any stubborn person can simply refuse to compromise, and then the entire organization.
Absolutely. Everything can grinds to a halt.
Sure. Let's just
tie everything up in conflicts.
Yeah. I mean, right. That's what they do. It's like, that's the phrase, right? Tying everything up in court. That's what that is. Like, I refuse. And so things stall out, and then the work suffers. This is In fact, part of the reason that role power exists in organizations to provide an efficient dam breaker to implacable and therefore unreasonable contributors who are attempting to, if you will, tie everything up in a court.
Absolutely. And folks, if you become known as the manager who only gets 80% of what she wants all the time, but delivers on time and on budget also all the time, pretty soon you're going to be known as the executive who gets 80% of what she wants all the time.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good, actually.
Exactly. That sounds pretty good, actually. Getting 80% of all the things you want all the time is pretty dang good. So don't be so rigid or ensuring that you're so unfallible, unbendable in your pursuit of wins that you ignore efficiency or relationships, which takes us to our third criterion, relationships.
Sort of.
Sort of. We did effective outcome, efficiency, and now relationships, which is so big it needs a whole new agenda item.
Yeah.
Because relationships matter. How many times have we said it? Relationships matter.
It's all about people.
It's all about people. Exactly.
The deadly mistake that most of us make when there are conflicts to be resolved is to focus solely on the issue and the positions we take around the issue. We seek to win, to have our position ratified. Too often, you end up failing to consider the effects on relationships of winning at the point of the conflict. The danger here is that once you win, the conflict is over and the relationship remains.
Yeah.
If we haven't sought out an effective compromise, which includes both parties reasonably agreeing, you risk a kind of penny-wise, pound-foolish situation where you've damaged the relationship because of something that was transient, temporary.
Yeah. And now all you're left with is a lousy relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excessive desire for winning is such a dangerous habit that it is the first of the 20 most likely, I guess, negatives of executive success or derailers of executive success in Goldsmith's wonderful book for managers, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. Choosing to compromise is one way to abjure the winning mentality. You Heidis? Well, us Heidis?
Yeah, us Heidis. Me Heidi?
Yeah, us Heidis. We're talking to you.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. And in this case, we want you to remember our previous guidance, if you're familiar with our previous cast, the pinch crunch model. All relationships suffer pinches from time to time. That is disagreements, conflicts, minor issues, pinches. They happen to all of us. They're totally normal. They're completely to be expected. And these are usually chances for compromise. If pinches are not addressed with apologies or discussions or compromises or us meeting eye to eye at the end of all this, and instead they're left untreated, they can actually turn into crunches. And crunches are what sever relationships. And they can occur even on small matters, little things, when they're preceded by a string of unresolved pinches.
And compromise is a really powerful tool for effective managers to address pinches in all of our relationships. So one way to alleviate that is to compromise, because it's really all about people. And the people will be there long after this project has ended, long after this initiative has passed, after this meeting is over. We'll still have to work with that person.
Exactly.
Probably, I guess, depending on depending on how you're, what you're doing there. So focus on interests, not position.
Most conflicts present themselves as two or more different positions. The classic example is that of bartering on price. I want to pay $50 and you want to sell something for $100. our prices are our positions. Sometimes you can reach agreement where a purchase occurs. Perhaps both sides thought they won, but also perhaps at the expense of the relationship.
Instead of focusing, though, on what the other party's position is in a conflict, you could try to determine what their interests are. Interests are, as the wonderful book on negotiation, Getting to Yes, says, interests are what motivates people. They're the silent movers behind the hubbub of position, right? How did that person get to that position? What is it that motivates them to be at that position? The easiest way to get to interests behind a position are to make a list of yours and ask why about the position of your counterpart. What are you trying to achieve here? What is driving this point that you're making? Is there a way we can satisfy the why of what you're doing and perhaps change the what of what you're doing? This is particularly an important point for managers in conflict with our directs. Our perspective tends to be much broader than our directs. We may have more budget than they realize, even though they have to justify all costs, something like that. We may be able to grant more time in another area that they're worried about. We may be able to offer them assistance they can't avail themselves of. We may know more about the breadth and scope of the issue or project than their role allows them. So just our understanding of the situation is bigger, broader, just like
the
our budgets could be.
The concerns they're concerned about aren't really concerns.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mark has found himself as a manager and leader constantly saying, so if I could get you this thing over here, we could get to agreement on that over there. And after years of doing this, he's still a little surprised when a compromise is quickly reached, the relationship stays strong, and progress can begin again.
Absolutely. So choose to compromise. Folks, it's a political strength, and politics are just relationship effects. Right? Ensuring those relationships are strong through compromise, and us as managers helping our directs realize that compromise can and should be achieved more often than maybe they think it should be. Hey, folks, if you're in the Cupertino area and you're interested in attending an in-person conference event, we will be there February 1st and 2nd, hosting our Effective Manager and Effective Communicator conferences, respectively. There's plenty of room in the conference, and we've arranged with the hotel to have a large room so that we can easily socially distance while meeting all of the restrictions and go ahead with an in-person conference event. So, February 1st and 2nd, we'd love to see your smiling faces in Cupertino. We hope to see you there. Next up, then, we're going to talk about defer on minor issues. We mentioned the excessive desire for winning earlier as a corrosive force among managers and executives. A simple way to practice compromise is to assess the relative importance of the conflict or negotiation you're facing. If it's minor, just defer. Essentially, allow the other side to win. Right? Just say, it's fine. Or, yeah, we'll do it your way. Or, sure, that'll work. Before you came along, nothing in the world was done your way. It wasn't. And when you're gone, your way is going to be done less and less and less and less as the years go by. Do you really need it to be done your way now? In small things, you probably don't. And neither does your organization.
And ask yourself, have they really won if you've conceded?
Right. If it's about winning for you.
Yeah, if that's your thing.
If that's your thing, then you're still in control.
Yeah.
You're still in control of this outcome if you compromise.
For a lot of people, it's not so much about winning. It's not about winning that matters, really. It's having someone else lose. Which,
Yeah.
Ouch. It's a sign of immaturity, and it's fairly common. Who cares if you're thought to lose if that's not the game you're playing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
The game you're playing is about progress and efficiency and relationships. You get all of those easily when you defer on small things.
Yeah.
And life goes on with less conflict.
Yeah. One less thing to worry about.
Yeah.
You don't have to get wrapped around the axle about every decision. Just let some things happen.
If you think back to that manager who gets what she wants 80% of the time, and then you also think, if sometimes you say, yeah, sure, we'll do it that way, then you also come across as easygoing.
Yeah, absolutely. Easy to work with.
Right. So 80% and easygoing, that sounds pretty good.
That sounds pretty good.
Me.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other place where you should defer that's like probably pretty clear, although I think maybe for some younger professionals, not always so much.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But we recommend you defer to role power.
Mm-hmm. Another simple way to compromise is to defer to your boss when there's a conflict. The chances that she's wrong are pretty small. If it's something that's truly important to you, we'd say make your case and search for an effective outcome that's efficient and maintains your oh-so-important relationship with your boss.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, after you defer, talk about the strengths and weaknesses of various positions to help you learn how the two of you arrived at different positions. Seek to understand her interests that led to the position you deferred to. It's a good learning experience for when you're at your boss's level, mm-hmm. to have those conversations and talk through, okay, well, I might have done it differently, but clearly you're my manager. You're in a place where you have been proven to make better decisions. That's why you're the manager. How did you make that decision? Right? So that I know next time, what are the factors to consider?
And if you're a manager, think of the difference in understanding you had about the workings of the organization, the implications of projects, the breadth, the scope of changes and their ripple effects. Think about the difference in understanding you had from when you went from individual contributor to manager.
Totally.
And think of that. And, you know, if you and your boss disagree, even if you are a manager, having that conversation with your boss about why they had their position, what about their position was important to them, will help you gain now more of an understanding of the next level, which if you remember that step change from individual contributor to manager and the way kind of you felt like you had just come up over the next horizon and you could see a whole new part of the terrain, these conversations can help you with that because just the breadth of understanding that someone at the next level has it's just really hard to imagine until you've gone through
wildly
it.
Wildly different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many times I can remember multiple examples of when I was an individual contributor, decisions being made or things that my boss was adamant about or whatever those things were. And as an individual contributor thinking, oh my goodness, it's not even that big of a deal. But now I find myself more and more as a manager making a big deal of the things that my manager used to make a big deal of, mm-hmm. because now I realize what a big deal they are. Back then, I was like, well, this isn't even a huge deal, but it is.
Yeah.
It fully is. I had no idea that it was a really big deal, but I do now.
Yeah.
It's that same thing,
mm-hmm.
right? It's that you don't know till you're there.
Mm-hmm. Next, consider strategic compromise. Most of the times when we talk about compromise, we talk about choosing to do so or working towards doing so around a particular issue or conflict, which is tactical compromise.
Mm-hmm.
There's also strategic compromise, paying attention to what you compromise on and when and with whom, and choosing when to compromise and when to insist or to defer or even to escalate. If you haven't compromised in a while with a particular person, make a point to defer or acquiesce to them soon. If you have been regularly doing so with somebody else, be willing to spend some time working towards an effective outcome, perhaps even at the expense of some efficiency,
mm-hmm.
maybe?
Absolutely. Keep the big picture in mind as you go about dealing with the conflicts that you're facing. Mm-hmm. It'll do your relationships and your career good.
Absolutely. If you are thinking about relationships here and thinking about the length of those relationships as opposed to the length of conflicts, and it's harder right now because we've just had the holidays. We're recording this just after the holidays, and we have also just kind of are coming out of the effects of the pandemic, I think, a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's harder, I think, because the last few years have been different. And then the holidays kind of always kind of wipe my brain clean.
I know.
I'm trying, though, to think of like some conflicts we've had in the past, I don't know, 18 months and some of the compromises made and the outcomes, right? I'm trying to think of those things. And I'm kind of struggling to even think of any that are now still on my mind.
Right.
Right? I guess maybe because they're in the past.
Yeah.
And because things turned out okay.
Right. All that to speak to the fact that were any of those really that important? Like, were they?
Exactly.
Because we don't remember them. I'm sure they were a huge deal at the time. I'm sure I was like really like stubborn about it at the time. But I don't remember any of them now. So none of them were worth.
Yeah.
The lack of efficiency and the harm to the relationship.
Yeah.
That I made them to be in that moment.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it in a cast. I'm sure we have. Mark often says, he calls it the queen's ex, right? Like, no, it's my decision. I get to decide the queen's ex. And I used to hear him say that a lot with Danny.
Oh.
Danny used to talk about the queen's ex. And now, I guess it's so funny because I rarely use it. Right. And I so rarely put my foot down on a decision about something. And maybe that's why. Maybe I'm too far on the compromise side. Maybe that's why I don't remember any big ones where I was like, no, I have to have the queen sex. I like the idea of it though, right? Like just like, no, I decide. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is I don't remember those conflicts. I don't remember the compromises. I do, though, still work with the same team who was here when those things happened. And the strength of our relationships is way more important to me than getting my way.
Yeah, absolutely. So to summarize, we'll quote Winston Churchill, those who never change their minds never change anything. If you're going to succeed in an organization, you're going to compromise a lot. It's far, far better to change your mind, to be perceived as having lost, but in doing so, maintain or even strengthen a relationship and gain progress towards the goal. You may not gain power, but you will have built authority.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thanks, Kate. Thanks, everyone. That's all for this week. Have a great one.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.